Dennis, how do I get into the meeting?
Hi, Linda.
Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, I can only see the top of your head.
I know. Let me see.
Here you are.
Here I are.
How are things?
Interesting.
Okay. Is that good?
I don't know. I mean, I got our second dose of the COVID vaccine yesterday. That's good.
I got my first dose last Friday.
Did you have a reaction?
No. Did you?
Not for the first dose, but today I do. I have flu-like symptoms.
Which one did you get?
Moderna.
Yeah. See, I got the Pfizer, and everyone I know who got the Moderna had some side effects from
really?
It. Yeah. Fevers or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't have a choice. I mean, you go where they
right.
go, and they whatever they've got, you get.
Right, right. Where did you get it?
I'm sorry.
Where did you go?
To the Fairfax County Department of Health in Herndon.
Oh, okay. Because I went to I wound up at Mason at their Eagle Bank Arena. Yeah, I didn't even know they were giving them there, and that was an option when they gave me my appointment, you know, times. Uh-huh. And they had space and the government center didn't, so.
Well, I just went where it was available and when they could, you know, I didn't want to be too choosy.
Right, no.
Hi, Chandra.
Good morning. Linda, where did you have to go?
We went to the health department in Herndon.
Oh, well, that's easy enough.
Yeah.
Have you had your vaccine?
We did, yeah, government center.
Oh. Yeah. And I went to Eagle Bank Arena, so.
Really? Yeah. What was it like there? Wow.
It was easy. We walked in and within 5 minutes, I had my vaccination. Mm-hmm. There was no one there. It was wonderful. But that's where they gave us an option, either the Fairfax Government Center or Eagle Bank Arena. And Eagle Bank Arena had time and the government center didn't. So that was where we went.
Is that the one at George Mason?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was easy. Real easy.
Yeah. Yeah, ours too. How did everybody get the second shot?
Going later.
Okay. I got mine yesterday and I have some flu-like symptoms today.
Yeah. We definitely, Rob and I both did not feel well after the second shot. About 24 hours.
Still waiting.
Yeah. I was so excited, to get the invite for the appointment. So we got it on Thursday evening and we were able to get the vaccine on Friday. So that was great.
Yeah. I feel safer now somehow.
Yeah.
You are.
Have you had yours, Chandra Caro? Have you had your vaccine?
I've gotten the first one. They accepted me in as a teacher. I mean, I'm in the 1B category, but it was totally unclear when they were getting to that 1B. And so I registered on the Fairfax County Health Department website as a teacher. And while they asked for all kinds of credentials, which I had letters from the synagogue, all kinds of stuff. I never had to file it online. And when I showed up, all they wanted was my consent form and my photo ID. They never looked at anything. Mm-hmm. So I can't get my next one till after next Thursday.
Yeah.
I can get mine March 12th. Yeah.
So that means I can pretend to be a teacher? I guess that's not ethical. I won't do it.
Well,
I mean, look, I am a teacher, but
I know,
I'm not kind of, I
was just surprised that they didn't ask for anything else. Too. I'm not, you absolutely should have it. You're a teacher as a clergy. I was just saying anyone could do that.
But I was really hesitant because I know what they were asking for, right? They were asking for, and I felt really hesitant about it. But I also know that the more people who get vaccinated, and like for what I do, if I get vaccinated, like I could actually come sit with you and feel a little like I could do my pastoral work better and not and worry less.
I thought the clergy was accepted anyway.
Well, they are, but 1B is so huge that there's no way to, like when you go into the websites, if they ask you certain questions and they spit you out if you don't answer those. So if I didn't say, it was like, I don't know, it was teacher, healthcare worker, whatever it was, but it didn't say clergy. So I know clergy is 1B, but they weren't getting to those yet.
Interesting.
So,
yeah, I get spit out at the first screen where it says, are you 65?
Right, right.
I'm like,
Yeah. There's a Virginia website you can register on too, which they're actually-
I did.
Okay, because there you can actually see sort of where you are.
Yeah, no, but I mean, they tell you in Fairfax that they're not using that not to register, but I thought, who knows what they'll be doing in a month or two.
Use
I registered. It made me feel like I was doing something.
Yeah, use it anyway. You know, whoever calls you first. That's
right.
Sure. Whoever
right.
Well, calls I can't first. Register on the Fairfax now anyway, so.
Yeah. No, I was really surprised that they didn't ask for anything. I was real. I mean, I lost sleep the night before. Not because, like, I just was thinking, okay, I'm going to get there and they're going to say, sorry, like throw me away. Like I was so sure of it.
Well, I'm and then glad you
all
got
they kept
it.
Saying was they wanted my photo ID and the consent form signed.
Yeah.
And where did you go?
The center by Adenova Fairfax, but like their satellite center on Innovation Road, that's where they're doing the vaccines.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Karen Singer, have you
all anyone talked about?
What's that?
Karen Singer.
I was saying that's oh go ahead. Who's I don't know. Alan?
What's that?
Yeah. Have you gotten your vaccines?
I did get one and I'm supposed to get the second one on March 7th. So
you know that there's like a 20-day window that it's fine to get the second one in. And actually you can't get it before that 21st day.
Right.
And then any time in that 20-day window is all equally fine.
Right. But the sooner the better.
Well, maybe for your own peace of mind, but it doesn't change the right. efficacy of the vaccine. So if they're backing up a little bit or whatever, you shouldn't worry.
Dr. Carol, did you change the title of this meeting that we used to call Musar? Is it now mindfulness?
It's been mindfulness for the last year.
What's Musar?
Well, we're using some of our Musar lens for this mindfulness practice. Musar is the study of Jewish character, values, and ethics, but right. we're doing a mindfulness practice here that we draw upon, and I've sort of, as we've gone on, we've drawn a little bit more upon Musar. I have to keep changing the title of it. I also think that if I change it, like, as long as I tell you that, like, it's not something different, right? It's like an evolving thing, but I sometimes feel if I don't change the title, it becomes white noise out there. So, but
and
I
you need to change the title and the picture and then people look at it again.
Well, that's it.
That's what I do for social action announcements.
That's it.
Emily, put this picture in. Maybe people will look at it this time.
Yeah. So I'm getting ready to do that. But I'll keep you apprised.
Thank you. I can't believe I missed all that because I come all the time and I thought, why didn't we? Well, you know, thank you.
Sure. Well, the sun's coming out a little more often, perhaps. So. Why don't we just start with a little bit of sitting together? just breathing in what's around you, just being present to what is, just finding your breath, finding your center or support. Don't judge where you are. Just you know, turn on your curiosity and just allow your breath to flow. If you find your thoughts are wandering, be present to that and just guide your attention back to perhaps your breath. If you're feeling antsy, recognize that as what is true right now. And just let that be. And again, guide your attention back to just sitting or lying down, however you are, with your breath flowing in and out. So a couple of different threads I'm thinking about this morning as part of our practice and consciousness. The first is, I tried weaving them together. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. So the first thing I'm thinking about is playing hide and seek. I loved playing hide and seek as a kid. There was the excitement of finding yet a new place that nobody had thought of to hide. Right? There was that anticipation when you were hiding, when I was hiding, of the person who was seeking, like getting warmer, getting colder. You could hear them further or closer, and like that excitement as they roamed the house or the yard or wherever we were. There was the squeals of who got found first or last. But there was also some anxiety. The anxiety of, what if no one finds me? Or they give up and they leave me here. When should I come out? And if everyone isn't on the same page playing with like the same understanding of the rules, the game can definitely go awry. So there's a lot that we still, each of us in our own ways, hide about ourselves. And I think at times we all put ourselves, for different reasons, in situations and places where we actually expect, even if we don't realize it, subconsciously we expect people to seek us out. And so those excitements and disappointments and anticipations, all of that actually shows up in our story of Purim this week, which of course we're celebrating, reading, starting tonight with our Purim parking lot party, and for the next few days with a few different expressions and celebrations and marking of Purim. And hiding and seeking, what is hidden and what is revealed, and is sort of at the core of that. And so I was thinking about how we could draw upon our mindfulness practice to explore this part of our nature, this hiding, this tension between hiding and seeking and desire to seek and desire to be found, and how to become a little bit more aware of how that perhaps plays out in our lives. So there's this lovely little Hasidic story, and it is all male, but that's because it was a Hasidic story. So it's attributed to Rabbi Baruch of Mezbich, so I'm not going to change like the characters. So Rabbi Baruch's grandson Yechiel comes running into his study one day in tears. Yechiel, Yechiel, why are you crying? His grandfather asks, Rabbi Baruch asks, and his sobbing grandson explained, I was playing hide and seek with my friend, but he stopped looking for me and left me alone. Rabbi Baruch caressed his grandson Yechiel's face, and with tears welling up in his eyes, he whispered softly, that's okay, you're not crying alone. God is weeping too, because nobody's been looking for God either. So it's a typical Hasidic kind of teaching. God is ever present, and we have to make room for God. We have to seek God out, right? That's a very common Hasidic thread. And I love, even in this story, I think there's something to the grandson's name, Yechiel, God lives. That is that, like, God, and maybe so maybe Rabbi Baruch made up his grandson's name, I don't know, but like God lives within each of us, and it's hidden until we unmask that spark of divinity. So hiddenness is embedded in Purim, right? Esther's identity, we know, is hidden before it's revealed. Haman's agenda is hidden before it's revealed. Mordechai's plan is hidden. And of course, God is hidden. So it's there. God is not mentioned by any name or even divine reference in the book of Esther. This is a book of human choice and human action. Though the question, of course, we can ask is, God is hidden, but is God, how are we hiding from God? Is God really hiding from us? Or is the experience of how we choose sort of what's playing out, even as God is present but on the sidelines? So we reenact this story every year. We do so, our tradition, of course, is to do so in some fun, but how do we do it? We do it with masks. We do it with costumes, right? With outer masks. We put on all this stuff that in some way I think represents some of the inner masks that we need to remove in order to really get the lesson of Jewish identity and Jewish power that is part of the Purim story. Our Purim celebrations are probably the most physical of all of our Jewish celebrations. Now, there's physical and spiritual components to all of our holidays. I mean, everything involves food, so that's physical all by itself, right? But like Purim is really, is like the most physical. So there's meant to be a, there's meant to be a festive seudah, a festive meal. So like what we eat on every holiday, the seudah, this festive, like Esther's feast, right, is embedded in it. We send, we send food to the poor, we send food and gifts to one another, and we're encouraged to drink to excess, right? These these are body, these are physical experiences that we're supposed to have. By contrast, on the other end of our holiday spectrum, right, Yom Kippur is probably the most spiritual, the least physical, though as of course it has physical elements, all of our holy days too. So Purim, you'll listen for a minute, right? And Yom Kippur, right? Are seem diametrically opposed to one another, but I think they're also somewhat related, right? Listen to the name. When you listen in our prayers, the reference to the day of Yom Kippur is never as Yom Kippur, but Yom HaKippurim, right? Even like in the can, when we light the candles, Shel Yom HaKippurim, like a, could be translated a day Kippurim, like Purim. How could Yom Kippur be like Purim? So I think in some way they're actually the mirror images of one another. On Yom Kippur, we're forbidden to eat or drink, right? We're supposed to fast. And on Purim, we're bidden to eat and drink to excess. Yom Kippur is sort of the essence of spiritual of our days. Purim is the essence of physical. But on both times, we are required to be mindful and present in body and in spirit. And we're meant to seek out God. We are hidden from God. God is hidden from us. And we are meant to seek out God on both of these days. On Purim, we put on masks. On Yom Kippur, we are meant to remove those masks, right? To do that inner work of what is distancing us from ourselves, what is distancing us from God. So in the story of Esther, right, Esther isn't the only one hiding her identity. Everybody's sort of got these hidden agendas, as I said. And God is concealed, perhaps not by a mask that God puts in place, but by a mask that we put in place, that we put up barriers that we are meant to recognize, at least at Purim. So God is veiled, God is revealed, but by us. So in a mindfulness practice, I'm thinking about how we can work to open our skills, hone our skills of mindfulness, of openness, of attentiveness, so that we in fact can then be granted visions, grant ourselves visions of divinity in the world. Being hidden is not being absent. Being hidden is something that we cannot yet see, or there's something blocking our sight, but it's not absence. And so like Rabbi Baruch's grandson, right, the hide and seek, we have to search, because searching is what creates the relationships. Okay, so we have this sense of hiddenness, of how we mask ourselves, of hiding from ourselves, of having veils that part of our practice can help us to allow to dissolve so that we can see more clearly, so that God maybe perhaps is less hidden from us. But masks are part of clothing. So this is my now tie to the Torah portion too, a second piece. Because masks, whether they're literal masks that we put on or metaphoric masks, are not the only way that we hide or reveal ourselves, right? Clothing is a tool of expressing who we are, of hiding and revealing, not skimpiness factor hiding, revealing, but like of just showing who we are. And so it's fascinating that this week in Torah, in Parashat Tetzaveh, which always comes right at Purim, always. They're always in the same time. And the portion in Tetzaveh is replete with instruction about the dress of the Israelite priests. So as the description of the clothing, the things that cover us, the things that shape the expression of ourselves. In terms of the clothing in Torah, the first thing is we're given the large purpose of clothing, of the clothing of the priests, and that's lichavod ultifaret, for honor and for glory to God. That's why, for the honor and beauty of serving God. So that's the purpose of the priestly, the special priestly dress. Then we know that the garments were to be made by skilled workers. We heard a beautiful Devar Torah last night at the board meeting about the importance of everybody's skills, but that these garments are to, they're not to be schleppy, right? They're to be made by skilled workers and with intention. So when we think about our mindfulness practice and how we cultivate what we attend to, it's wrapped into there. Of course, there were special materials to be used: gold, purple, crimson, silver yarn, crimson and purple yarns, fine linen, gold chains. Like it's, and then there are very special designs for the priestly garments. For the priestly garments, both in the use of the materials and the garments themselves, there's going to be a breastplate that the priest wears that has 12 stones, each with the names of the tribes of Israel, so that the priest is carrying that over his heart when he goes into the Holy of Holies and remembers that before God. There's a shoulder pieces, a stone wrapped and woven with gold on each shoulder, 6 tribes inscribed on one and 6 tribes inscribed on the other. Again, like the carrying the weight of his position of what he's supposed to be remembering and doing. There's a big flowing robe that has bells on the bottom. It's supposed to, the sound is supposed to wake everybody up. And there's a headpiece that he wears that is inscribed with the words that says Kadosh Ladonai, holy to God. So in our example of the priest's clothing, right, everything that the priest is to be wearing is a sense of intention, maybe not covering up, maybe not masking, but maybe even as the cover to share for himself and for others his purpose, his intention, what he's doing in that moment. So there's a mindfulness, there can be a mindfulness to our clothing. So thinking about when we wear masks, when we wear literal masks and figurative, like what are we covering? How are we doing that? How can we be more attentive to what we are showing, not showing, revealing, hiding? How do we find how we are hiding ourselves from others? Is all, that whole sense is embedded for me as I was thinking and practicing this week, which is why I'm sharing with you. So, and even on Yom Kippur, Purim, we've got all the costumes and masks. Yom Kippur, we're wearing all white. Traditionally, we might even be wearing our kittel, right? The garment that we're to be buried in, as if we are like looking at the whole of our life on Yom Kippur. Sometimes we'll hide behind our clothing, the items we wear, the way we wear it. Sometimes we choose mindfully what we put on, as perhaps we dress for a concert or a wedding or a funeral or for the weather or for the time of day. I would suspect that more often we grab what we're wearing without too much attentiveness or consciousness about what we're putting on, without it as too much attentiveness to how we are feeling depending on what we are wearing, or how those actions affect our choices throughout the day. So I thought I would walk us through sort of taking all of that, all of these ideas, is to actually do a sitting practice, walking through what it would be to pay attention to how we get dressed, to noticing right now what we're wearing today as part of our mindfulness practice, to practice this cultivation of awareness so that, right, our practice, I'm always hoping like the teaching sparks something to think about, and the practice is just like the continued trying and succeeding, or trying and not succeeding, or every day is different. Like, how do we cultivate sort of a deeper awareness of what arises in us so that we can act more with choice in our lives each day? When we were just sitting before, I had this image of, it was funny. It was just an image of like, wouldn't it be nice if in one of the moments that I am caught to actually be able to stop for myself in that moment and say, oh, Susan, look, you're doing that. Don't do that now. Like, now you have a choice. But that's what we're practicing. We're all in practice. So, and doing it together sort of helps, because at least we know that we're not alone in trying to refine who we are, and to know that we are all in process. So if you want to reshift yourself if you need to, or take a drink of water, find yourself in a place of wherever you are. It's not even a place of ease. You might not be able to find a place of ease. Don't judge that either. Just sort of notice right where you're sitting right now. Notice what is supporting you, where familiar aches and pains, new aches and pains, feeling a little differently this morning. And just to be with your, allow your breath to flow. And just settle into an awareness of what is true for you in your spirit and in your body in this moment, without any judgment of how that is. So now just think about your having gotten dressed this morning. How did you choose your clothes? Did you lay them out last night, this morning? What circumstances surrounded your clothing choice? So explore back, if you can, raise any intentional thoughts or feelings or experiences that you may have had just in the choosing of your clothes. Was it routine? Was it aimless? Was it thoughtful? Was it weather dependent? Was it about something that you're doing today? Just notice. Just notice that, all without judgment. Just sort of raise up that initial experience of how you got your clothes this morning. And now think about the experience of putting on the first garment that comes to your mind of what you are wearing. Consider its texture. Think about what muscles had to move, what bones had to shift, what movements had to happen for you to put on that article of clothing. And as you re-experience that in your mind, notice the texture of the article of clothing, perhaps temperature change on the skin as it came in contact with you. Notice that article of clothing on you now. The sensations, the weight of that article of clothing. Now perhaps another piece of clothing that you put on. Different movements perhaps that had to happen. Different muscles, different bones shifting. The ease of putting it on, the strain of putting it on. The feeling of it on your skin. Perhaps the sensation or sound of one article of clothing rubbing on another. The change in air temperature on your skin as it is covered or uncovered. Do that with one or two more items of clothing that you chose this morning, that you grabbed this morning. See if you can give some attention to that experience of all that happened to have that piece of clothing come to be on your body. Little details that we very unlikely pay attention to. And as you continue to add your layers of clothing, just notice the change in sensation and weight throughout your body. Notice the inner experience of emotion or thought as you add back on each piece of clothing. How might all that you are wearing this morning feel or be a little different than perhaps it was a few minutes ago, having given attention to how each piece, each article of clothing made its way onto your body. Actually, before I say anything else, any thoughts or reactions or questions? So it's not that masks or clothing are bad or good, right? It's more in terms of a practice and awareness. In our own getting dressed, it's just a practice of just paying attention, right? Of cultivating an awareness of our trying to live mindfully rather than aimlessly, right? And so this practice is just a tool to help us do that. Linda, yeah.
When you said notice how it feels different now, the clothing against your skin feels different now from when we started, that was like quite an increased awareness for me that I hadn't ever thought about before. But there was a difference between before and after. It was just a sensory awareness. It was amazing. Mm.
Yeah, we're probably mostly just aware of our clothing when it's uncomfortable, right? When that's when it catches our attention.
Yeah, this wasn't uncomfortable. This was just soothing. It was just, I was aware of soothing fabrics against my skin, different fabrics.
So, or just that it's there, right? So it doesn't, we don't even have to qualify. The only, but what usually only raises our awareness, like it's itchy, it's pulling, it's tight, it's whatever, right? But just like, just to actually just notice that it's there, right? Is not something we generally do.
Never.
masks, costumes, clothing, they're not inherently bad or good. I mean, even there are times where we should cover ourselves, protect ourselves, but it's about doing that mindfully. It's about a capacity to notice what we're doing when we're doing it, so that we can decide that that's actually what we want to be doing, as opposed to habitually doing something. So that's why our practice is always going back and forth between like a noticing and a choosing, but just also just being with what is, right? We have to start with an acceptance of what is in this moment, as well as when we accept that and notice that, we also know that we can change our response and our actions. So it's this flowing constantly back and forth. So I found this lovely poem by Devin Spear that is about that acceptance, because that's where I'd rather leave you. It says, come in as you are. You do not have to shine yourself up or polish off your grit. Make your brokenness a blessing, never using it to harm or as a hardened defense. Come in to honor life, to learn and to teach. Transparency opens us, whereas hiding closes us. Pretending reveals nothing, whereas the truth reveals everything. Welcome and come in with all that you have. So be who you are with all that you have. And as you know, even in any one moment during the day, the breath is a great way to just stop ourselves from like that hurrying, that rushing, that habitual work, right? We always say, stop and take a breath, but literally to like stop and breathe for a moment even, is a stepping into practice for just a moment, because it resets our ability to decide what we're going to pay attention, how we're going to pay attention, and what we're going to pay attention to, and that we can pay attention to more than just what we thought we were paying attention to. So wear your masks or don't, but enjoy them for choosing what they are. And hopefully I'll see some of you in the parking lot later, and in the days to come online. We have our Poor Murder Mystery after Shabbat services tomorrow, and there's a really great book that some of you may have been reading, dense, to say the least, but quite interesting for a Shabbat morning, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.